Alright, let's get going. I opened my beer too soon. I was going to open the beer for the microphone to get the nice little sound effect in there and be all cutesy and shit, but guess we're not going to be cutesy and shit today here at the podcast. What we are going to be doing is picking up where I left off in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, number 255, if I remember correctly. We're going to be picking some low-hanging fruit, making fun of millennials. It's kind of like shooting dead fish in a barrel with hand grenades. But it's fun. Kind of like throwing hand grenades in barrels.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, and you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a fucking safe space, because this ain't it. You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way Hillary Clinton's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong, or I am right.
Randy, is this your hair all over the fucking place in here? Are you shedding again? I'm trying to find the fucking source material. I know I have it. Here we go. Found it. Greetings, everybody. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 years, 12 years, and 10 days from now. This is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is a weapons platform in which I launch a cruise missile of my intellect, homes that destroy sleep, weapons, status, all another. Right-wing status, left-wing status, homo status, statheist, femistatist, GLBTKKK statist, Islamist statist. Does not fucking matter what kind of fucking statist you are, jabroni. Be a fucking jabroni statist for all I care. Whatever kind of statist you are, you're gonna die. I watched a documentary about the Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik is a wrestler. For those of you who don't know anything about wrestling. If you're into wrestling, it's called The Sheik. Find it, watch it. It's really good. Turns out The Sheik, the Iron Sheik, is the guy who invented the word jabroni. It was not The Rock gets credit for jabroni because you say jabroni all the fucking time. You know what I mean, jabroni? But The Rock is in the documentary, because he knew the Iron Sheik. And he says the Iron Sheik is the one who taught him that word. The Iron Sheik was pretty hilarious, man. And like a lot of the wrestlers that went big time, he had his crash and his burn, and the alcohol, and the drugs, and the family breakup, and all that other stuff. It's a very good documentary. It's called The Sheik. Speaking of sheiks, I'm not the Sheik, but I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. You can send us email at God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. By the time this podcast goes out on Monday, the email should be absolutely positively confirmed up and working. I think it's up and working now, it seems to be, but it's fucking technology. I never assume technology is working. That's a good way to immediately have a great downfall in your life, is to assume technology is functioning correctly. I mean, you can do that, but you're not going to get very far with that fucking attitude. In the control room right over there is the lovely and adorable Randy, and we are on the interwebs. Now the website is back up and running, other than at the time I'm recording this, still not getting any auto-posting to the Facebook and the Twitterverse and the Google Minus. But I don't give a shit. I'm moving on. I can't sit around and wait for social media, because who gives a fuck? I've been getting a lot of hits at the website from the boys over at America.org, because they've been linking to me, and I appreciate that. Thank you, gentlemen, over at America.org. And I did a whole linkage featuring nothing but stuff from their webs. They write a lot of good shit. Again, yes, they are right-wing statist. They're not anarcho-capitalist, but you know, look up the linkage. If you type in linkageamerica.org, you should find it via the search function. The alt-right, as they are calling themselves, they're making a lot of good point. They're stumbling upon many things that I've been saying for a long time as an anarchist. Natural selection. You can't circumvent it. Democracy. It doesn't work. Right? I've been saying this shit. It's nice to see other people pulling their heads out of their asses and catching up with me. They're still not all the way caught up, of course, because they are statist. But it's okay. They're on the right path. At least they're on the right path. They have potential. Some of them could make the transition to anarcho-capitalist. It could happen. Whereas left-wing state will never make a transition to anarcho-capitalist because left-wing statism is, of course, rooted in victimology and rooted in parasitism. And I thought about something the other day as I was thinking about all the idiots. And I'm sorry this is not making fun of millennials. Hang in there. I'll try to get to making fun of millennials as soon as I can. I thought about something the other day when I was thinking about all the pathetic fucking losers who are saying that if Donald Trump wins, they're going to leave the country. Now, of course, we know they're only going to go to other countries that are predominantly white people. And we know that they're not really going to leave the country. They're just saying that. They're liars. And it made me think about something. If these other countries you're going to go to are so wonderful, why don't you just go there now? And there's a reason they don't. Here's the reason. The left-wing statist is so terrified of doing work, putting in effort, having to expend energy. They want everything brought to them. Right? You hear it all the time. Every other country has guaranteed health care. Right? Canada has one-payer health care. We need that in the United States. Okay? If one-payer health care is so wonderful, if Canada is so wonderful, if the Canadian health care system is so wonderful, why don't you just go to Canada? Well, because going to Canada would require effort on the part of the left-wing statist. They would have to actually do something. So what they want is for Canada to come to them. If you look at the left-wing statist and listen to what they say and watch their actions, you will notice they always take the path of least resistance, right? Here in Colorado right now, we got the thing on legislation to allow people to kill themselves. The left-wing statist doesn't just need permission from the government to kill herself. She needs the doctor to kill her for her. Because she's too fucking lazy and stupid to bring death to herself. I thought about this also when being subjected to the debates this week when I was at the bar. I told that story in the previous bite. And they were talking about the abortion and Hillary was talking about, or somebody there, but I can't tell the difference sometimes. Well, no, Donald Trump is awake. Hillary Clinton's in a coma. That's the way you tell them apart. Oh, Trump was saying that abortion would go to the states if the Supreme Court over, because, you know, this fucking fascinating, Roe versus Wade is the only thing the government, you know, because everything revolves around a woman's fucking vagina. That's the most important fucking thing in the cosmos is women's pussies. And so anyway, if Roe versus Wade gets overturned and it goes back to the states, and this got Hillary Clinton all worked up that the states would be able to decide whether what abortion laws should be. And why is this? Well, again, the same thing. Let's say that you have Colorado and Texas, and let's say Roe v. Wade is overturned and Colorado decides abortion is legal. Let's say Texas decides abortion is illegal. Okay. If you live in Texas and you want an abortion, all you have to do is go to Colorado. But again, if you're a left-wing statist, well, that would involve work. You would have to do something. You would have to put effort into that. And the left-wing statist is nothing but a fucking parasite. They're not going to put effort into doing something. Just like a tick attached to a dog, they don't want to have to go in search of the blood. They want the blood to be brought to them. That's why they attach to the dog. They stick their head in there. They find a blood vessel and they tap into it. And they just sit there and they get fat on the blood that is brought to them by the effort of the dog. The dog goes out, it eats food, it gets exercise, it breathes air, its heart pumps, the blood goes around in the dog, and the tick just sits there and sucks on the blood. It's a fucking parasite. That's what a left-wing statist is. The left-wing statist is not going to put any effort into going to these other places that are so fucking wonderful. The left-wing statist expects the United States to transform into what the left-wing statist wants. Because the left-wing statist just isn't going to fucking do any work. I'm drinking an Isolation Ale from Odell Brewing. It's not bad. It's a darker beer. It's one of their winter brews. All right, let's get back to this article. From Tuesday, October 18th, Rocky Mountain Collegian. This is written. This is not a college reporter article. This is something they got from outside sources. Written by somebody named Don Lee, who is apparently with something called the Tribune Washington Bureau. I don't know what the fuck that is, and I don't care. And the title is Millennials Aren't Big Spenders or Risk Takers, and that's going to reshape the economy. If you didn't listen to the previous episode, I suggest you go back and do so. As I point out, most of this article I have not previously read, so we're reading this cold. Here we go. Young Americans are unusually optimistic, which could propel purchases and economic growth as their disposable income increases. Well, how is their disposable income going to increase? If you were here in the previous episode, we read about Dominique Artis, who's 29, who's in between jobs, and he is, quote, scrounging money from family and friends so he can immerse himself in Hebrew studies and so he can take a trip to Cuba. Now, how is Dominique going to get any disposable income when he's unemployed spending money? How are the millennials going to get disposable income when they have all these credit card bills and all these student loans to pay off, and they have all these shitty jobs because the economy sucks, even though we've just had 8 years of a presidency of a man who's half black and promised us hope, change, and forward? But they're still not likely to have as much left over because so much is going for skyrocketing rents and education expenses. Gosh, really? They're not going to have one? But didn't they go to college? Weren't those college diplomas worth so much money? The low home buying rate of young adults already has been a big factor in the slow housing market. Now, you know, I thought about something with buying houses also. If all of these fucking cocksuckers who are going to leave the country if Donald Trump becomes elected, if you left, think about all the house vacancies. Suddenly, there would be this glut of available housing on the market. And as long as the government didn't interfere, the excess of housing would cause the price of housing to go down, therefore make housing more affordable for all the little millennial fucktards and the rest of us who remain here in the evil United States of America led by the orange-haired Donald Trump. So again, if you left-wing statists care, get the fuck out and make the United States a better place, while at the same time going to another country which you consider to be a better place, which, oddly enough, will be populated with mostly white people, because none of you are going to go to Brazil or Honduras or Nicaragua or Nigeria or Egypt or Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan or Mexico or South Africa. No, you're going to go to Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. The low home buying rate of young adults already has been a big factor in the slow housing market. The home ownership rate for those under 35 slipped to a low of 34% this year, compared with around 40% for young adults in the prior three decades. And people today are getting married and having children later, which will weigh on home sales in the future. Quote, "I don't believe they're going to catch up," unquote, says John Burns, an Irvine, California-based national real estate consultant. Who gives a shit what he said? Like other millennials, Summer Lonnie is keenly interested in having her own place. She wants something close to her parents' two-story, four-bedroom house in the Dallas suburbs of Mesquite, where she grew up and currently lives, she says. But the 27-year-old community organizer can't imagine how she will be able to save up for a down payment and afford a mortgage. She's a fucking community organizer. I'm 27 years old. I'm a community organizer. Oh, my fucking, oh, my fucking head hurts. Hold on. Deep breath. Deep breath. 27 years old. You're a fucking community organizer. You think you're going to be able to afford a two-story, four-bedroom house in the Dallas suburb of Mesquite. How can you be 27 years old and not just be that lazy, but be that stupid? This is on par with me saying I want to buy a house next door to Mark Zuckerberg. Because Mark Zuckerberg bought the houses next door to his so that nobody could live by him. Or wait, was that Marissa Cuntface from Yahoo? One of those cocksuckers. They're all the fucking same. They're all cocksuckers. Hold on. All right. Let me pick this up off the floor. Let me reread this. Let me take a breath. 27 years old. Community organizer. She can't imagine how she will be able to save up for a down payment and afford a mortgage. Here's a hint, Summer. You can't. You won't. Wait a minute. Didn't you vote for Obama twice? Why doesn't Obama, right? The story of Julia. Obama gave Julia fucking support for her baby, even though she had no daddy for it. Obama gave Julia health care. Obama gave Julia a place to live. Obama gave Julia rent money. Obama gave Julia a job. Obama gave Julia fucking retirement. Summer, you voted for Obama twice. How come you can't afford a house? Twenty-seven-year-old community organizer. Okay. Oh God, it gets better. Oh God, no. While Lonnie's parents never finished college, and yet, Summer's parents never finished college, yet, well, they can afford a two-story house with four bedrooms in the Dallas suburb of Mesquite. And they never finished college! Oh, maybe they actually did work. Maybe Summer's parents didn't spend the 27 years of their life sitting around waiting for Obama to give them free stuff. Hey, Summer, you dumb fucking cunt. Maybe if you did some work like your parents did, maybe you could have a fucking two-story, four-bedroom house. But no, you're not going to do any work. You're a community organizer. While Lonnie's parents never finished college, she graduated from Washington and Lee University, a well-regarded school in Lexington, Virginia. It's a very well-regarded school. Not well-regarded enough for you to get a diploma that's worth anything and get a job. But with more than $35,000 in student debt and a car loan to boot, she has struggled to make ends meet. So she had $35,000 worth of debt and she bought a car and she ain't got a job. I have no... Again, this is the thing you see with millennials. They have no money. I don't have any money. I should go buy some stuff. I can't figure out why I'm miserable. I can't figure out why I have to live with my parents. I can't figure out why I can't afford to buy a two-story, four-bedroom house. I have $35,000 worth of college debt. And then I said, hey, I think I'll go buy a car. Makes perfect sense. Obama will pay for it for me. If I help him, he'll help me. She moved back with mom and dad in April 2015, paying a little rent to them. Notice, too, it hasn't yet told us what the fucking Summer got her worthless college degree in. How much do you want to bet it's not engineering? How much do you want to bet it's liberal arts? There's more than economics behind the living at home phenomena, however. Oh yes, yes there is, there's much more. It's also the fact that the millennials are so emotionally insecure and fucking fragile that they need to live at home in the room with mommy and daddy so they feel secure. Because I don't want to vote for Hillary, because I'm with her, and Hillary just, she makes me feel so good when I listen to Hillary talk about how she's going to protect a woman's choice. I feel so good. It makes me feel so secure. And Donald Trump, oh, he's so scary. He has orange hair. He really scares me. And so I was thinking about dyeing my hair. I don't know if I should dye it pink or orange. What do you think? Isn't that interesting? Women dye their hair orange and they think they're attractive. And yet the same women who do that make fun of Donald Trump for having orange hair. Of course, the women who dye their hair orange are also fatter and uglier than Donald Trump. There's more than economics behind the living at home phenomenon, however. Lolly doesn't mind the arrangement at all because she likes being with her parents. Something more common among millennials than people of their age in previous generations. Experts. It doesn't matter if I agree with these experts or not. Anytime somebody says, well, experts think, the first thing that should go through your brain is, the first thing that should go through your brain are, number one, do these experts have names? And number two, what are these experts basing this opinion on? Experts think that reflects their protective upbringing and more frequent exchanges, thanks in part to the rise of texting and social media. Quote, I have loving parents here, unquote, Lonnie said. Actually, you don't have loving parents, because if your parents loved you, they would not have let you go to college for a worthless degree. They wouldn't have let you be $35,000 in debt. They wouldn't have let you buy a car when you didn't have a job. Your parents don't love you. Your parents raised you to be a fucking idiot. Your parents are incompetent, stupid, cocksucking motherfuckers, which is where you got it from. Remember, as I pointed out more than once, we need to keep reminding people, as much as I despise the millennials, as much as there is about the millennials to despise as worthless and fucked up and fucking snowflakey and cunt-like as the millennials are, let me remind you, they didn't get that way by themselves. Their parents showed them where the road to stupidity was. Their parents took them to where the road to stupidity started. Their parents helped them down the road to stupidity, and anytime the millennials try to get off the road to stupidity, their parents put them right the fuck back on it. They didn't get stupid on their own. Another key difference with their predecessors, particularly Generation X, is that millennials are not big risk takers. That seems especially true when it comes to starting businesses. Ooh, now this is interesting. The rate of new startups is higher today than 10 or 20 years ago for every major age group, except those between 20 and 34 years old, according to the Kauffman Foundation's latest annual study of entrepreneurship. This is fucking fascinating. This. So again, we have to look. The millennials think that somehow or another they're magically going to get money down the road to pay off these cars and these student loans and these trips to Cuba and this learning Hebrew and all this other shit. And there's only, with excluding, you know, theft and taxation and embezzlement and all this other shit, the only way you can get money is by creating value for other people. When you look at most millennials, they don't have the ability to create value for other people by getting a job. Otherwise, they wouldn't be community organizers and unemployed people going to Cuba. They'd have jobs. Or you start your own business and create value for other people that way. But millennials are starting fewer businesses than any other generation. Again, they're just sitting there waiting for people, other people, to bring money to them. You millennials are in for a rude awakening when you find out that you are not going to be able to make money by being a foodie. Yes, I know, there's that one person, and he's a foodie, and he got a TV show, and he's really famous and makes a lot of money. That doesn't mean you can do it. There's only so many places in the world for people to get paid money to be foodies. The result is that the composition of new business formation, already turning grayer with the aging of baby boomers, has shifted even more sharply to older adults in recent years. On top of that, you can't start your own business when you've gone through your entire life just getting an award for showing up. Because when you start your own business, speaking as somebody who owns his own business, right, I don't get awards for showing up. If I want to make money, I have to create value for another human. Two decades ago, a little more than 34% of all new entrepreneurs in the U.S. were younger than 34 years old. Today, it's just 25%. This could be troubling, says Arnobio Morelli, A-R-N-O-B-I-O, it's the first name, M-O-R-E-L-I. It's the second name, a senior research analyst at Kauffman. And with the stupid-ass millennials starting less businesses, you're going to shift, not that everybody can work for a small business, of course, but fewer small businesses mean shifting more jobs to the evil corporations, Startups represent dynamism in the economy. New and young businesses have long created the bulk of new jobs in America and are critical for productivity growth, too. Morelli believes that some would-be entrepreneurs are being held back by their heavy student debt loan.
But it's a college experience. But it doesn't matter how much money you pay for college. You can't put a price on experience. Oh, it's experience. And I can pay it back later because I'm going to graduate. And when I graduate from college, I'm gonna immediately get a job for, I'm gonna get a job at one of the Fortune 100 corporations. I'm gonna be a personal assistant to the CEO. And once he sees how fantastic I am and how much experience I have, and I think by my third week working there, I'm not going to be promoted to like vice president, and I'm going to make so much money. I'm going to be like Marissa Meyer because she's so pretty, and like Yahoo is doing so great under her. I'm going to be like this. It's you have to say college is not about the money. College is about the experience.
Morelli believes some would-be entrepreneurs are being held back by their heavy student debt load. Nonetheless, he finds it puzzling. There seems to be relatively less entrepreneurial zeal among millennials, particularly since they grew up in an era when people like Facebook founder and millennial Mark Zuckerberg, 32, have been celebrated in business schools and popular culture. Now, this is because millennials are lazy. Are you not paying attention? Starting a business requires work. Okay. Work. Not studying Hebrew and paying for it with money you borrowed from your parents. Not living at home. Not going to Cuba. Not being a community organizer with $35,000 worth of student debt and a car you can't pay for. No, starting a business requires work. This is why millennials are starting fewer businesses than any generation before them. Because starting a business requires work. This is not hard to understand. This is not difficult. There's not even any math involved in this. Even women should be able to figure it out. In fact, however, there's evidence that young adults today would rather work for big companies and take their chances at budding firms or in their own garages. Compared to boomers, millennials are more interested in having the same job through most of their life, says Gene Twenge, a San Diego State University psychologist and author of Generation Me. Of course the millennials would rather work for a corporation. Which part of emotionally immature, intellectually immature, retarded and stunted do you not understand? The millennials need security. They need safety. They need protection. In a big corporation, they have a human resources department to force other people who don't like the GLBTKKK community to like them. In a big corporation, the millennials feel secure because there's all the rules. We're gonna go to a team building exercise, and oh, we're gonna touch and feel, and then we're gonna have rules. And we're gonna have a break every 2 hours,
And oh, and we're gonna be part of a big family. It's like a big family because we're all here to be friends with each other. Starting your own business requires creating value for other people. Being friends with them comes second. And then I swig beer down the wrong fucking pipe. For the millennials, they want to be friends with people. They want a community and a family, and they want safety, and they want protection from conservatives. Because of diversity and tolerance. Of course the millennials are attracted to the corporations. Their relative risk aversion may have something to do with the protective environment that parents and schools created for millennials, emphasizing participation over winning. Said Twerge, quote, everybody got a trophy, unquote. Gee, where have you heard all of this before? They're sheltered, spoiled, little fucks. Starting your own business takes work. Millennials don't do work. Millennials get awards. Oh, I like that. That's good. Hold on, I gotta write that down. Fuck, millennials don't do work. Don't do work. Get awards. That's good. If you're listening to this, you can use that one. Partly because of such pampering, Twing, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this person's name correctly. His last name is spelled T-W-E-N-G-E. Twing, I don't know. We all know my linguistic skills are about as powerful as the cognitive skills of a fucking millennial. Twing, partly because of such pampering, Twing argues, millennials are more self-absorbed than prior generations, even narcissistic. No. No way. These people who can't stop posting selfies on Facebook are fucking self-absorbed? No. But at the same time, research suggests that young adults today are also very community-minded, which is another word for herd. Yes, they are community-minded because, again, there's safety in the community. They need a community because none of them have jobs. Without a community, who will they borrow money from? They need a community because they need attention from other people. If baby boomers were known as the me generations, millennials might be called the we generation. Surveys have found, let's take a wild guess where this is going. Wanna bet it's going to tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism, except of course for Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Catholics and Republicans and conservatives and libertarians and heterosexual white men and rednecks and people who are against abortion. But other than that, I have tolerance and diversity. Unless you're in any of those categories, okay, you're evil. Oh, you're so bad. Oh, it's just, if Donald Trump wins, I'm going to have to move to New Zealand where it's all white people. Surveys have found that millennials, while less interested in traditional politics, oh bullshit, care deeply about their communities and are volunteering more than earlier generations of young people. Yes, because they can't get jobs. earlier generations of young people didn't do as much volunteering because they had jobs. They were creating value for other people and getting money in return. The millennials are mostly unemployed. That's why they volunteer more than the generations who came before them. Oh! I love the spin, how this is taking the incompetence and stupidity and laziness of the millennials and trying to spin. They volunteer more. Oh, they care so much. No, they're unemployed more. Quote, I do sense that public service, community service is in their DNA, unquote. Said John Della Volpe, director of polling at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. He thinks that's partly because many high schools, starting in the 1990s, mandated community service hours before graduation. Hey, look, again, you get them when they're young and stupid. If high schools mandated that each high school student, before they graduated high school, had to kill 3 Jews, then when high school students graduated, went to the world, they would think that killing Jews was normal and they would keep doing it. Yes, if you take humans and you indoctrinate them with bullshit, they will start to believe the bullshit is real. Global warming, right? This is why global warming is pushed so hard in high schools. They mandated community service in high school. So you couple the fact that these kids, when they were young, were told that working for free is a good thing, coupled with the fact that they can't get jobs, sure, they're going to spend a lot of time working for free. Here's the thing. If community service and working for free is so great, how come politicians should get paid? Why do politicians get paid then? If you're a politician, shouldn't you work for free? Community service is so fucking wonderful. Here it comes. Millennials also came of age in a more racially diverse and economically stratified America. How can America be economically stratified more than in the past? We've just had 8 years of an Obama presidency. The man is half black. He is the Messiah. He passed Obamacare. He brought change and hope forward. I thought he was going to fix the economy. I thought he was going to save us from the evils of Ronald Reagan and Bush and Bush. I thought that if you helped him, he was going to help you. Millennials also came of age in a more racially diverse and economically stratified America, which has made them more sensitive to social issues and things like gender and income inequality. Gay rights are a given. Oh my God, it's gender and income inequality. So I have a PhD in ethnic studies and international communications, and I don't make as much money as this man over there who has a PhD in engineering, and it's obviously this is a fucking gender inequality issue because my diploma and the fact that people have different color skin is obviously just as valid as his diploma that lets him do things like build bridges and skyscrapers that don't fall down. Because I think that I'm sorry, I'm having a moment because I'm so scared of a Donald Trump presidency right now. It's really hard for me to cope with the world when Donald Trump might become president. Okay, cause my professors told me that it's really important to understand that different people have different color skin, and that's really important, and I think, I think my understanding that people have different color skin is just as important as his ability to build a skyscraper that doesn't fall down. I think I should make as much money as him, and I'm not, because it's the patriarchy that's oppressing me.
Okay, that's my impression of a fucking millennial college graduate. It was pretty fucking accurate, wasn't it? You thought for a minute there was another person in the studio who was a millennial and graduated from college with a degree in fucking ethnic studies. That was a great impersonation. I love my life. Man, I went trail running today. Oh, it's beautiful outside. It's right. 65 degrees when I left, and sunshiny, and rode the bike out, and it's Friday. All you little fucking millennials are either trying to organize your community, or you're volunteering somewhere because you're unemployed, or if you've got a job, you're working at Starbucks, or you're serving food to somebody in a restaurant. I was out there on the trail. Oh my god, it's sunshine, and there's a few clouds, and fresh air, and I'm running around on the trail listening to an audiobook, and there's bunny rabbits, and there's trees, and man, I'm gonna die one day, and I'm happy. I just enjoy my life. I don't have any debt. I got no student loans. I ain't got no fucking car loans. I'm happy. There's a big smile on me. You're so fucking, you're just like, you just go through, you need attention and you need awards and you're terrified of everything and you're walking around going, I'm so scared of Donald Trump. And you got this student debt for this worthless fucking degree that you can't even get a job with. You have to volunteer because nobody will fucking hire you. God, you're fucking worthless. Natural selection would solve this problem. Back in 1990, whites made up 73% of the young adults age 18 to 34. That share dropped to 63% in 2000 when millennials were just entering adulthood. Okay, no millennial has ever entered adulthood. If the millennials entered adulthood, they would get jobs. The millennials are not entering adulthood. That's the problem. And now it's down to 55.8%, according to William Fay, a Brookings Institute demographer. So yes, we are in the United States trying to get rid of white people, we collectively as a nation, led by the left-wing statist. That's why Donald Trump is as popular as he is, because people on the right, the alternate right, people such as myself who are not anarcho-sissies, we recognize that the left-wing statist social justice warriors are coming to exterminate the white people. We recognize this. Interestingly, the face of prime-age workers in the U.S. are people like Lionel Maris of the Sun Valley neighborhood of Los Angeles. A second-generation Mexican-American, and this hyphenated shit, I'm getting old, this shit's getting old. Are you Mexican or are you American? Make up your fucking mind. Second-generation Mexican-American who grew up watching news of school shootings and inner-city violence. The 30-year-old pursued a degree in sociology. Oh, there's a fucking worthless diploma. In sociology from Cal State, Northridge. Mayers, too, has struggled to find a good job. Really? You mean that degree in sociology? You can't find a job with that? Really? No, no, what? No, is Starbucks not hiring? Fuck. They're the smartest generation ever, yet they don't have enough sense to use the internet to research how many people already have a degree in sociology. How many people with a degree in sociology are already fucking unemployed? Maybe you should look into that before you go to college. Now, I major in sociology because because it doesn't matter what you major in. It's about the experience. He has Meyer, too, has struggled to find a good job, and in recent months has been, say it with me, volunteering at a local legal aid center. He's volunteering. Not because he cares about the community. He's volunteering because he can't find a job. Because he has a degree in sociology. Because it's a worthless fucking degree. Because he thinks he's the smartest generation ever. But because he's dumber than fuck. Because his parents didn't raise him worth a shit. The millennials, I'm telling you, the millennials are the worst thing that has ever happened to the United States as a nation state, politically and economically speaking. The millennials are going to do more damage to freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of association, and to the economy than any generation as a whole before them. The millennials are going to do more to destroy the culture. Whether you like the culture or not, whether you're a fucking statist or not, you say, you shouldn't be no, yeah, fuck you. It doesn't matter, okay? The geographical region we call the United States has a culture, and there's cultural sub-pockets within it. You know, the South, the West Coast, the Northeast, the Midwest, all this. But the millennials are going, and you don't have to like all of it. I don't like all of it. There's parts of our culture that I'm, of course, I'm obviously completely opposed to, but it doesn't matter. The millennials are going to do more to destroy, to degrade, to influence in a negative way our, the royal our, collectively, culture and economy than any other generation. Now, in a way, this is a good thing, because the sooner the culture is destroyed, the sooner anarchy breaks out, the sooner chaos happens, the sooner the economy collapses, the sooner the federal government can't pay the fucking food stamps and the WIC and the welfare and the Social Security, the sooner the corporations start to collapse and the government can't bail them out, the sooner people in the cities start to starve to death and riot, the sooner all of those things happen, that's the sooner the United States, the federal government of the United States as a nation state, collapses and dies. And that gives us the possible opening for anarcho-capitalism to actually take place in heaven. I don't bother. I am always right. And if that hurts your feelings, you can go fuck yourself. We'll be back for that's all, folks. We'll be back for part three. Maybe I'll be able to talk. Who knows? It could happen.